Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Monday edition of the show, April 1st edition of the program. No April Fool's jokes today. On this show, at least, I promise. My name's Matt Dennison. You can follow me at Hoosier Hills. Glad to have you with us. We do this show each weekday as we talk the latest with IU basketball. And really, this time of year, everything to do with college basketball. We're in the middle of the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, we're in the back end of it with the Final Four set. And I thought this weekend's game, Sweet 16, and especially the Elite Eight, were just outstanding. And very much looking forward to the Final Four coming up this weekend. And before we even get that far, very much looking forward to tonight's women's Elite Eight games, specifically LSU and Iowa. Going to be great. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, a battle of big-time women's college players tonight. There's talk, Justin Kalen, producer I want to bring in, there's talk that this might be the most watched, most anticipated women's college basketball game ever, and that could include the championship game or the Final Four games coming up later this week.
Yeah, and I've heard that scuttlebutt as well, and rightfully so. I mean, you got, like you mentioned, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. That's two very polarizing players. But not only that, you've got Kim Mulkey roaming the sidelines for LSU as well. So she's going to draw some eyeballs with some of the things she's been saying lately and talking about. So, yeah, it is going to be a heavily anticipated game. I am on the side of looking forward to this game tonight. And I wouldn't say necessarily counting down the minutes until 7 o'clock tonight, but I am definitely looking forward to 7 o'clock tonight to take that one in.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. And can Iowa and the represent the Big Ten Conference and move on to the Final Four? You can bet that the NCAA and a lot of sponsors are, because she obviously has been the most dominant college women's basketball player that I can ever remember. And obviously every commercial break during the men's tournament, during the women's tournament, during anything sports related on network television right now here in the month of March, it has included her, and she is making all kind of money from NIL and from the opportunities that are now allowable for college athletes. Kind of surprised that she's not coming back to Iowa for another year. I know that she's accomplished a lot of things. I know that there are other goals that she has in basketball beyond just playing at obviously the University of Iowa. But I'm not familiar enough. A number one draft pick, which I think we all assume she will be right here in Indiana playing for the Fever when that draft gets here. What would pay more? We don't know this. This is a hypothetical question, but all the big-time advertising NIL opportunities that she has, which she's only going to get more if she stays in the college game, or the rookie contract for the WNBA. Without knowing a ton about either, I'm going to say that she would make more from NIL than a first-year rookie contract in the WNBA.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that. But the thing with Caitlin Clark, though, Matt, is she'll get money wherever she goes just based on advertising and doing commercials. And like, that's not going to go away for many, many years, whether she's at the college level or the WNBA level. So I don't know. I think if her dream was to always play in the WNBA, why not do it now? And it's, life's not all about money all the time. So hopefully she's able to see that. I'd like to see her go to the WNBA just to get her out of the Big Ten. Maybe Indiana could have some more success in terms of their women's program. So get her far out of here. But I want to touch on the other game as well, because it's not only Caitlin Clark tonight, but you've got UConn and USC. So think about that for women's basketball here tonight. You've got Caitlin Clark, obviously a massive face in women's basketball. You've got Angel Reese that we touched on as well. But then for UConn, you've got Paige Beckers and then Juju Watkins for USC. So arguably you could make a case that it is the four best players in all of women's college basketball on the stage tonight. So really exciting stuff.
It feels like it's the women's Final Four tonight, but it's just the last two Elite Eight games that will set the Final Four up for later this week. But when have we ever opened the show? I know we've talked a lot of IU women's basketball, and rightfully so this season, but when have we ever opened the show talking women's basketball? This game is on my mind. I've got a lot of friends that are talking about their bet for the game tonight, and people are just buzzing about it. So good for women's college basketball. And good for this not even being the Final Four and attracting this much attention.
Yeah, and there's also going to be something else to watch tonight, Matt. I don't know if you've seen this yet or not, but NC State's women are in the Final Four. NC State's men are obviously in the Final Four, which we saw yesterday. But UConn's men also in the Final Four. If UConn women can find a way to win tonight, it'll be the first time in history that a men's and women's program from two different schools are in the Final Four in the same year. So that's going to be worth watching as well. I'm going to be a big UConn fan tonight to hope that happens.
Yeah, I think that second game, as you mentioned, will be good as well in the women's Elite Eight games tonight. Justin Kalen with me to start the show before we get into the headlines and everything else, and there's plenty to get to. I do want to talk a little bit about yesterday's Elite Eight games specifically. And I tell you what, Purdue and Tennessee, it was a battle. I felt like from the moment I filled out my bracket, right after the pairings, the potential path for the Boilermakers was put forth, I thought Purdue and Tennessee would be a war. I thought it would be a battle, and it absolutely was. That was just a fun college basketball game to watch. And then to be followed up with Duke, North Carolina State, I mean, this run that North Carolina State is on right now, you go back a month or so ago, they were down double digits to the University of Louisville in the opening round of the ACC Conference Tournament. And for them to rebound from that, Kevin Keats, their coach, was on the hot seat. For them to rebound from where they were, to boost him to a two-year extension, to reach the Final Four, to beat Duke again, I think the second time this month, in the month of March, and go to the Final Four. I thought two great games, two remarkable stories, seeing Purdue finally get to the promised land of the Final Four, seeing Zach Edey accomplish all the big stat lines and everything that he's done in the tournament and so far this season. Two very, very interesting deals yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They were a lot of fun. That Tennessee-Purdue game, a little more fun than the Duke-North Carolina State game just because it kind of got out of hand late thanks to DJ Burns, which – DJ Burns, I mean, Zach Edey better get ready for that big fella. He is going to have his hands full with DJ Burns. I'm really looking forward to that matchup next weekend. Zach Edey, I mean, he's faced some big guys this year, but I don't know that he's faced anybody with the body that DJ Burns has. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one, seeing how that battle plays out. I think Purdue will ultimately probably get the best of him, and that's what I'm hoping for. I know I've talked with you several times in this tournament how just Purdue can lose whenever they want. I'm just fine with that. But I have got my sights squarely set on the clash that would be UConn and Purdue. I cannot get over thinking how fun that game would be if we do indeed get that matchup.
UConn is absolutely dominating people right now. I mean, it is not even it's unbelievable how they are just destroying the competition. I think the best a college basketball fan can hope for, and I know in our state you've got Indiana fans that are going to cringe about Purdue in the Final Four and don't want Purdue to advance another game, but I think the best you can hope for a competitive, maybe thrilling national championship game is that Purdue does take on Connecticut at this point. I'm not even sure that the Boilermakers can compete possession by possession with UConn and how they're playing right now, but I do think that could be at least an interesting national championship game to think about, to talk about, and who knows how it'll actually go if and when it happens, but to me, that's the best scenario for a great national final.
Oh, for sure. I mean, both teams with the big guys down low. Now, Zach Edey's got a couple inches on Klingon, but I wouldn't worry about that. Klingon's fantastic. The one thing that it would really come down to would be guard play, and anybody who's watched college basketball will tell you that UConn's guards, very, very good. Purdue's guards, very, very good. So it'll come down to guard play. I think the UConn guards have a little more experience, so maybe that would shine through in a championship game. But, hey, we don't even know if that's going to be the matchup. I'm hopeful that is the matchup because I think that has potential to be just a fantastic college basketball game and for the national championship nonetheless. So that's what I'm holding out hope for. I would love to see that matchup more than anything. But to go back a little bit, Matt, how about – I don't know if it was Mike Schumann or who it was that tweeted this out last night, but how about NC State in the Final Four, whereas the Big Ten next year, bottom, what, 3-4 teams not going to take part in the conference tournament. If that were the case this year in the ACC – North Carolina State would have never gotten this opportunity, and now here they are a few weeks later, and they're in the Final Four. So I am still not in favor of the Big Ten cutting out teams from the conference tournament just because you are taking away moments like this that could potentially happen down the road. So hats off to NC State. Glad that they were able to play in their conference tournament and not only play but win it and then parlayed it into a Final Four. Impressive, impressive run. They've one of the most exciting runs in the tournament that I've seen in my lifetime. It just improbable as well. Nobody expected them to be there.
Yeah, hey, I'm glad you brought that up. But I think it's four teams next year in the Big Ten Conference, the new expanded coast-to-coast Big Ten Conference that will not make the tournament, if I'm correct there. I don't have it in front of me, but I dislike that because yeah. I hate to say this, and I know North Carolina State obviously has developed into a great, great college basketball team, but I was looking at their schedule yesterday and how they got hot to close the regular season, and then they continued on to win the ACC tournament. And now, of course, we all know what's going on with the Wolfpack. But it's kind of like Indiana. I know Indiana's run got spoiled there by Nebraska. Indiana didn't just get beat in the Big Ten tournament. They got embarrassed. I mean, absolutely shot out of the gym, basically. But, you know, you could compare some things between Indiana and North Carolina State going back through the regular season and the conference season and how things were going for both teams in January into February, and that both teams, to get anywhere close to an NCAA tournament at-large bid, needed to win far more games than what they did to close the season. But both had good runs. Both were hot going into the conference tournament, but both were out of the NCAA picture as far as the tournament goes. Obviously, we know what happened with North Carolina State, but it's hard not to draw that comparison or that thought when I think about this North Carolina State team. The other thing I do want to mention as well, going back to the Purdue-Tennessee game, it'll connect from Tennessee that played at Northern Colorado, I believe it was, last season. Indiana really targeted him hard out of the portal last year, and he was one of the finalists. Indiana was right there in the mix until the very end when he took his visit down to Knoxville, if I remember correctly. But just a reminder about what one, and I know Tennessee has other great players, but what one major addition from the portal can do when you've already got some key pieces. And Indiana, I'm drawing that reference here, Indiana does have some key pieces. Mackenzie Mbako is back. We'll get into that a little bit later as we get further into the show. But obviously some other pieces back for this Indiana team. And now a big addition out of the recruiting with 2024 commit Bryson Tucker, who's going to be in the McDonald's game on Tuesday night. But some pieces are really there. And Indiana, with as they go portaling further over the next few weeks, maybe just needs that Dalton connect to add to the roster for next season to take them from a team that you're kind of maybe thinking could be decent if all this works out to a team that could be an NCAA tournament team and a team that can make a run. Who knows? But that's what the portal can do, and Dalton Connect is a great example. I think that's his first name.
Mm-hmm. Right?
He's a great example of what a big addition to a already strong team can do.
Oh, and that's the thing with the transfer portal is there's – and you've seen it. I mean, Indiana contacts all kinds of guys as soon as they hop in the portal, and there's going to be players in the portal that can help your team. That's most – I mean – There just is. That's just how it works. There's going to be guys you can go snag that plug into your roster, and they're going to be massive pieces for next year's teams. But hats off to Tennessee for identifying Dalton Connect as being – I mean, I want to say he was the number one transfer portal guy last offseason, so hats off for them getting him. But, I mean, those are the types of guys that you have to be able to identify when you look into the transfer portal. You can't just throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks in terms of contacting all these guys. You've got to identify, A, what your team needs, B, how these guys will help your team when they get brought in next year. So, yeah, hopefully the Indiana recruiting staff is looking into this portal, trying to identify those guys that they can bring in that'll really make a big difference for the team next year. Because, like you mentioned, I mean, Indiana is set up very similarly to how Tennessee was. Tennessee had a ton of returning guys. Indiana, all of a sudden, you look at this roster, they've got a ton of returning guys. So not the whole team, but they do have their core back. So, yeah, just how do you identify what guys can come in and help where and what will their roles be and how ultimately it will affect Indiana moving forward into next season?
Yeah, I agree. One final note from the weekend. There's more to get to, but at least for now, I want to mention this. Nate Oates of Alabama, he was a high school basketball coach about 11 years ago. Dan Hurley at UConn, obviously I think most people know his connection to high school basketball. He was coaching in the high school game 14 years ago. And Kevin Keats, I don't remember how many years ago it was, but he was the coach at Hargrave Military, which is one of the great preparatory type schools in the country. And he had just so many great players years after year. That's how he made his connection to eventually get himself into the Division I college basketball game. But amazing to see three of the four teams. Of course, we know the path that John Shire at Duke has taken is a little different from most as a player there, assistant coach there, and taking over for the legend Coach K there. But three of the four coaches not long ago were high school basketball coaches, which should bode well for the confidence of high school coaches in Indiana that if you do it right at the high school level, there is the potential, there is the ability to get to the college game and beyond.
So you're saying keep an eye on Sharon Wilkerson's of the world is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
I'd love to see him advance his career. He's done well, Jeff. But, yeah, I mean, there is a path to get to the collegiate level. You just got to stay tried and true to what you're doing if it's working. I mean, and Sharon's a perfect example of that. What he's doing is working. So, yeah, you never know. I mean, that is neat. I hadn't realized that three of the four were four previous high school coaches. So pretty awesome.
All right. I got to get to the headline stuff, Justin. You and I get talking March Madness and NCAA tournament, and we're all out of whack here. But thank you for helping me get the show started.
You're welcome.
Headlines today, or I should say not the headlines, but the show lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, you just heard from Justin Kalen, producer of this show. Got a couple other notes that we'll get to here in just a moment before we get to a commercial break. Later in the hour, it's Monday, which means Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will be with us. And then we'll wrap up today with Chad Gilbert, IHSAA Executive Board member. He's also the athletic director at Charlestown High School. And Chad was at the state championships in his role as a board member all weekend. And we'll go through a lot of things I want to catch up with from Chad there in Indianapolis at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. That's the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out. They've got wonderful sandwiches, salads, and soups that are made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450 is the number. You can send in questions and comments and sound off on IU and the high school championships over the weekend, whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to ask our great guests here on this Monday show. Just get your phone out, open up a text message, type in 502-414-1450 and send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. We'll get them on the air today. And you can sign up for the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards Program and receive 25 cents off per gallon, plus great weekly fuel offers that you can't pass up. Download the app at the App Store or on the Google Play app today. It's the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app. A couple other things I want to get to here in this opening segment. Mackenzie Mbako is coming back to Indiana. That was the thought, that he would maybe try the NBA route, test those waters, but likely would come back to Indiana. And he did make it official on his Instagram account over the weekend that he is coming back to Indiana for another season. I think it's still possible that he tests the NBA, but he is returning to Indiana to join Malik Renew and some other key returners for next season. Of course, Bryson Tucker, we're still figuring all that out, the latest commit to Indiana that was a little bit unexpected and how it all played out last week, but he is a McDonald's All-American. You'll be able to see him in the McDonald's All-American game from Houston, Texas on Tuesday night. So some things coming together for Indiana for next season. It's hard to believe that just a few months ago, this team was in a really bad spot. And who knew, who thought that all these guys, the guys you really want to have come back, would be back for Indiana. And I guess it's good news, but Indiana still with 6 open scholarship spots for next year, which means right now they are very, very active in the transfer portal. And at the state finals this weekend, one of the great things for me is just to see old friends and coaches from different parts of the state. It sounds like talking to some guys that know their stuff, Indiana's got a lot of money, a lot of money to throw at some of these guys right now in the portal. We're talking millions of dollars available to them, according to people that track this stuff and have far greater connections than what I do. So with that said, I think you can plan to see Indiana at the top of the list for some of these key guys that are looking for a new home, because Indiana's got the money and the deals to put together to make these things happen. So 6 spots, a lot of opportunity to bring some key pieces in to team up with some of those that are already back for next season. But I think it's going to be interesting to see who Indiana ultimately lands from the portal. One interesting name, Brandon Huntley Hatfield. You probably know that name from U of L last season. He is scheduled to take a visit to Indiana coming up April, I think, 13th and 14th. 6'10" power forward, 1 year of eligibility back. He averaged just under 13 points a game, 8.5 rebounds, and almost 1 block shot per game last season for Louisville in their very, very much struggling campaign under Kenny Payne. But he's an interesting name. Again, we've discussed a number of names that Indiana is involved with, that Indiana is interested in. One of those names is Leland Walker from Eastern Kentucky, who is an Indianapolis native. He, in fact, was supposed to be on a visit with Indiana today, but that has been postponed, according to Pigs.com. So we'll see if Walker and Indiana can connect. It sounds like a great opportunity maybe to land an in-state player back to his high school days, but definitely some transfer portal activity right now in a big way. Indiana's got the money, and Indiana's got the spots with 6 open scholarships still to fill for next season. Want to mention Mackenzie Holmes and the IU women's team as well. I got tied up on Friday evening and at halftime left the game until we got maybe down to 3 minutes or so remaining in that Sweet 16 game. It was Indiana and number 1 seed South Carolina. I thought Indiana was just about to get their doors blown off when it went to halftime, and so I really wasn't too upset about having to miss a great part of the second half of play. When I saw the score and got it back on my phone, eventually got it back on television where I was at, I could not believe that Indiana was in the ball game and making a run at the Gamecocks. Indiana cut it down to 1 point with, what, a couple minutes remaining and had, again, top-seeded South Carolina on the ropes. What a season it was. What an effort it was in that tournament game by the Hoosiers. Mackenzie Holmes, just an amazing women's college basketball player. She is going to be absolutely missed at IU next season, but the momentum continues for Terry Morin and the IU women's team. It will be interesting to see as well what they do in the offseason, who they can land, who they can get through the portal, what kind of backing NIL-wise that they have now to keep this thing rolling and eventually see the IU women, and I mean next year or the year after, take that next step and get to a women's Final Four. So a lot of stuff to keep up with the men's tournament, the women's tournament, but I want to make sure I mention the IU women. We'll get into them more as we get fully into the offseason, but golly, what a game, what a run they put together this season, almost coming back to take out South Carolina on Friday night. That's a look at our headlines. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is next. We'll talk IU and Mackenzie Mbako back, transfer portal, and more. And then we've still got Chad Gilbert ahead to talk about the state championships from over the weekend, where the Mid-Southern Conference, unbelievable, won the 2A with Brownstown, the 3A with Scottsburg, 2 state champions teams from the same conference here in Southern Indiana. It was an outstanding day for Southern Indiana basketball at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, and Chad Gilbert will review all that with us coming up later in the show. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday show. Thornton's text line is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Texter says, over the weekend, Tucker Bivin had a three-inning save at number 12 Florida State. Yes, he did. Thank you for sending that in, Bivin, a New Albany product with a great, great performance down in Tallahassee at Florida State, one of the all-time great college baseball programs. Also, an IU tie into the women's Final Four. Former IU assistant Ashley Williams is on the North Carolina State staff. She coached the guards at IU during the Pattberg Burger seasons. Thank you for that, Texter. Appreciate that very much. So a little bit of an IU connection on the women's side in the Final Four. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us Mondays to talk IU basketball, football, and more. And right now, the big IU news, Zach, at least coming out of the weekend, is Mackenzie Mbako is back for next season, and that's another big piece for Mike Woodson and this staff.
Yeah, and it was kind of talked about, I think, for a while. It was believed that it was moving this way, certainly after Malik Renew kind of announced his intentions, and it sort of felt like Indiana was kind of moving almost methodically to an extent through these guys that had questions about whether they might portal. And I would say, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say this would preclude these guys from declaring for the NBA draft and at least just going through the process, get some feedback. Hey, listen, if you have some good workouts and you get a first-round guarantee from a couple teams, nobody's gonna hold it against you if you stay in. But I think it tells you where, basically these guys are just from a sort of, you know, a long-term perspective, which says, you know, I still believe that the best place for me is Bloomington. And suddenly you can start, you know, sort of piecing this stuff together and you feel like you've got, you know, at least kind of three starters in the, you know, kind of in the firmament now. And I know people want stuff to happen in the portal fast. I get it. I understand why. It's just never quite going to move that quickly. But I think you will see Indiana, you know, involved with a Tony Perkins, for example, from Iowa. I want to say the visit was postponed, but I still wouldn't be surprised to see Indiana involved with Connor Hickman, the Bloomington South alum who's transferring from Bradley. There's, you know, been a lot of smoke. I don't know quite as much about this. I have been off for about a week and a half now, but, there's been a fair amount of smoke around Jalen Blackman, whose brothers both played at Indiana, obviously. So the point is, you know, it's important to remember the portal window stretches into May. I think it does, if I'm doing my math right. You know, we are barely in April. There's a lot of time left. And if you're Indiana, there's also sometimes, you know, it's worth saying sometimes there's value in slow playing certain things because you don't know who might be about to hit the portal coming out of, you know, maybe teams, you know, that are getting knocked out of the tournament or haven't been knocked out of the tournament yet or whatever. Just these things have a certain sort of pace and speed that I think we're all kind of figuring out together because we are, you know, we're not that deep into sort of the formal kind of structure of these portal windows. But Indiana is certainly in a position where at very least it feels like it's settled probably a lot of the questions on its own roster. When you talk about a Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal, Gabe Cups, a Malik Renew, a Mackenzie Mbako, and then we go from there. I think that, that's a very good kind of start to the spring if you're Mike Woodson and staff.
Zach, I think we basically know who is back and who is not from the roster last season. I know there's still some recruiting going on as well. Obviously, Indiana with a huge commitment from Bryson Tucker last week, who's a McDonald All-American. We'll see him on Tuesday night in that game. But outside of maybe another recruit or so, Indiana with six scholarships to use basically through the transfer portal, where does Indiana need to look? There's so many different names that have come up. There obviously are a lot of big targets out there, and as you mentioned, there could be even more coming as teams get eliminated from the NCAA tournament. We saw some more teams get knocked out here over the weekend. But what is the top need for Indiana that you see at this point on the roster for next season?
The biggest one for me is, and, you know, I think we've said this for years now, so let's not act like anybody's breaking new ground, but it's shooting, you know, and that's not necessarily, I'm not talking about going out and getting a bunch of guys to shoot 52%, but, you know, anybody, like I used kind of Auburn as a comparison in something I wrote a couple weeks ago where I said, you know, Auburn only had, I think, one player who was a consistent three-point shooter. Jalen Williams, who is above 40%. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, so if I'm wrong on that, forgive me. But what Auburn had was five or six players that all shot at least 35%. And so you wound up in a situation where on any given night, Auburn had five, six guys that could wind up being the three-point threat that you know, pulled apart the opponent's game plan. And when you look at recruiting, for example, a Connor Hickman or, you know, a Jalen Blackman or somebody like that, you're talking, I think, about a somewhat similar profile sometimes where the three-point shooting numbers are strong in the aggregate, but there's also just this ability to say, hey, on any given night, this guy could be the backcourt player that gets us 18. This guy could be the one that just sort of lays the grenade at the base of the other team's game plan. And you've kind of got your wings now, right? You've got Mbako. Obviously, we're all learning more about kind of Tucker on the fly. I think, you know, my understanding is he was sort of planning to go the G League Ignite route, and then obviously the NBA kind of surprised everybody and sort of closed that door for good. But you've kind of got some, you know, some good wing players. It'll, you know, it's probably a question for the offseason from Mike Woodson. Is Malik Renu year four next year, or is he year five? I do think even if Malik Renu is kind of the starting five for Indiana, there's probably an extent to which you want to explore the idea of a defense first, or not necessarily defense first, but a good sort of defense and rebounding screen and roll type presence, you know, good at the rim but on both ends of the floor. Even if that player is coming off the bench, I think that player still has value for you as somebody that can play 20, 22 minutes a night, can backstop. Let's assume Renu is the five and sort of Mike Woodson's long-term plan here, can backstop Renu when he does get into foul trouble, though I would argue Renu might get into less foul trouble if he's playing the five than if he's playing the four. But I just think that, you know, if we're kind of talking about what are Indiana's biggest needs here, I would start with guards, and I would say if you could add three, you know, good shooters or playmakers, either one, in the backcourt, and then you can give yourself, you can bolster sort of your front court options, particularly on the glass and defensively, even if that guy is maybe not a player who's going to start, someone that you can look at and say you're going to get at least 18 to 22 minutes a night, you're going to get significant run, don't worry, because you can still play some, you know, some Malik Renu at the four. I mean, like, look at Purdue, for example. Purdue plays Zach Edey and Trey Kaufman-Wren together, and then sometimes when Purdue wants to go smaller, suddenly it's either Edey or Kaufman-Wren with Cam Heidi, certainly a lot of time with Mason Gillis at the four. The point is it gives you options, and it means that when Purdue needs to be bigger and when Purdue maybe needs to either take some of the load off of Edey at one end of the floor or needs to be a little bit better rebounding or whatever, they can go to those two bigs, but when maybe teams, and we've seen this in their tournament run, when teams try to make Purdue play smaller, that's not a problem because you've got Mason Gillis there. If you want to play Heidi or even Colvin sometimes as a little bit more of a hybrid four, you can do that as well. I think that Indiana could stand to kind of get to a place where they've got an option off the bench, probably off the bench would be my guess, that can either spell Renu or play alongside him but still get a lot of minutes in the aggregate, and then guard depth with shooting, and listen, it's the easiest thing in the world to say, but scoring bona fides, I think, is going to be important.
Good stuff. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us Mondays on the show. Zach, great to catch back up again this week, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with really a full report on where things stand for Indiana with who is back and who is committed for next season. And again, lots of players in play right now, with, I think, more coming into the portal as we get further and further into this thing. And what are we, 15 days or so in at this point? So another 30 or so days left of portal opportunity for players to jump in. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back to talk about the state championship games at Gainbridge Fieldhouse on Saturday with IHSAA Executive Board Member and Charlestown High School Athletic Director Chad Gilbert. He'll be with us in the next segment. Stay with us for that here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Monday show, Thornton's text line is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Chad Gilbert with me now. Chad's the athletic director at Charlestown High School. He's also on the IHSAA executive board. So he was a busy man on Saturday during the state championship games at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Chad, I got a list of stuff I want to go through with you, all positive things from Saturday's final games. And first off is the Mid-Southern Conference, of which Charlestown is also a member. Not just this year with Brownstown and Scottsburg winning state championships, but think about Silver Creek, the boys and the girls, Eastern Pekin, the girls, other success stories from that conference as well. My goodness, they have done well in Indianapolis in recent years.
Matt, before we talk about the Mid-Southern Conference, and you, this may come in on some of your other thing topics you've got, so you may have to check these off the list. But what a great day the state finals were. You know, just the games themselves, the atmosphere. And if you're there, if you're a junkie, excuse me, like you and I are, what about all the people that you get to see that you haven't seen for a long time? It doesn't matter if it's an old official, an old athletic director, an old coach. You know, there was Greg Rakestraw there, former Hall of Fame director Chris May, Coach Broughton, Coach Bob Lovell, several college coaches, Pat Rooney, Mike Adams, Governor Holcomb, the mayor of Indianapolis, Josh Jackson, who did an outstanding job. Evie and Bam were the ball boys for the state finals. What experience for them. But for have him to be able to take over, he used to be the athletic director at Greenfield Central, and his assistant basketball coach there. For him to take care of those guys, you know, it's just a great day to see everybody. And I thought about this. I thought, man, all the people that Matt knows that he gets to see here, and he gets to share a segment with me on Mondays, how much I appreciate that opportunity just to talk about how good we've got it in the state, how good we've got it in Southern Indiana, because that state finals, if you have not been, it's a spectacle, Matt. And you know what I'm talking about. It's just a fanfare with all the coaches. And it wasn't as big this year as it was last year without Flory there. You know, there wasn't your high major coaches that were in there just trying to get in the door. But there were several local coaches throughout the state. And it's just a great day of celebration of a basketball season for 1, 2, and 3A classes. It was something, you know, that Coach Commissioner Paul Knighty put on with Assistant Commissioner Brian Lewis and their team, just an outstanding day. And they pull a lot of stuff off, Matt. You think about it, in between the timeouts, half times, all the awards that they gave out. And it was, you know, the best part of the day, though, Matt, was the award the commissioner gave out to our old friend Kevin Lewis. Kevin's ran across some tough times here, and I don't know if we've talked about this or not. And people listening, they'll know who Kevin Lewis is, one of the best officials in the state of Indiana. Whether it's football, basketball, softball, Kevin did it all. And you want to talk about a mentor for so many people. And for the IHSA to recognize him for what he's done, Kevin's run across couple tough times. He's battling through it right now. He's he's got cancer, and he's doing everything he can to fight through with the cards he's dealt. He is a fighter, but to see what he's done, to recognize him in front of so many people that are cheering for him and helping him get through his tough time, I thought that was something very, very special throughout the day. It might have been the best part of the whole state finals, Matt.
I agree, and I know some people may or may not know Kevin. He's one of those guys, if you've been to a lot of games, you know him, because he's been on some of the great games in Southern Indiana and around the state as an official over the years. But I wasn't aware, Chad, of the situation. And obviously he is sick and has had some declining health. And when he was wheeled out to the court for this presentation, he was in a wheelchair. And it took my breath away to see his condition, because he's always been just a kind of a flamboyant guy that everybody likes. He's in control of the game. He does a great job, and he knows everybody along the way. But to see him in that wheelchair on Saturday, it just takes your breath away. The second thing, to see him get that award, and he was determined to get up and stand on his own two feet and wave and give a bit of a fist to the crowd to let them know, I took it as I'm fighting through this. I'm doing the best I can, and I'm glad to be here today in front of all of you guys, was the message I got. But to see him do that, it you're right, it was one of the best. It was the best part of the state finals. It was shocking to me because I did not know. But boy, it was great to see that. I'm glad you brought that up. It wasn't on my list, but Kevin Lewis, one of the great officials in our state, and boy, our thoughts and prayers are sure with him as he goes through this cancer situation, and hope he can make it through, because he's been a great guy for our game and a great guy to me and many others here in Southern Indiana and across the state for years and years.
Well, man, and he did every big game for me at Jeff. Between him and Steve Meyer, I didn't lose too many games with those guys on the whistle, and I gave them both a Letterman jacket when I left Jeffersonville, because they did so many good games for us and did such a good job. But, for him to go back through and the courage he's shown, Amy and I, he came to Amy and I's wedding. When we got to go back and see him afterwards in the locker room, and I just broke down, Matt, and gave him a hug, and he said, we're going to get through this, Chad. The courage that he's got to come out there and let everybody, just recognize him for everything that he's done. Is outstanding. So, that was an outstanding day. But, you talk about the Mid-Southern Conference, Matt. Man, what a day for the Mid-Southern Conference. Scottsburg and Brownstown both winning state championships. You think about two great history schools. If you go into Meyer Gym, you see the history of Scottsburg. It's they've never had a boys' state championship. And for them to do that, I thought that they played outstanding. Jack Miller, it's going to be hard-pressed to keep him off the All-Star team with that performance, don't you think, Matt? I thought he did an outstanding job.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Saturday.
32 points.
And, I thought that was outstanding for the way that he competed, the way that he willed Scottsburg. And Clarksville, and Scottsburg's no slouch. They have other good players to go with them as well, but I thought he separated himself as one of the top players in the state on Saturday. Then you transfer over to the 2A game with Brownstown. My gosh, I mean, Brownstown was outstanding. Jack Benner, I know Florey's a McDonald's All-American. I know this. I know he's going to Kansas. But Jack Benner's got to be knocking on the door for Mr. Basketball. I mean, he's got to be knocking on the door. What an outstanding career he had. And, Matt, did you see him in the post make that behind-the-back pass?
Unbelievable.
To the guy in the three-pointer in the corner. I mean, he's got a game like Luka, if you see him. And people say, well, can he play at Purdue? I don't answer that. Yes, he can play at Purdue. He's going to be an outstanding player at Purdue. And you got somebody like Matt Painter who knows how to put guys in that in pieces that work. He's going to be a great fit. And so excited for both of those schools to win the state championship. And you touched on it a little bit. Every team in the Mid-Southern Conference in the girls has made it to the state finals. You think about that, man. There's nine teams in the conference, and they've all made it. The teams that have won it are Austin, Pekin Eastern, Scottsburg, and Silver Creek. That's pretty good. Half the teams, all of them made it, and half the teams that have been there have won it. So that's a pretty good feat for the conference. That's a feather in their cap. And for the boys to solidify and put their stamp on it, great weekend for the Mid-Southern Conference.
I agree. I want to run through a couple of these things, and then you can comment for the final 60 seconds or so. But for Benner to have the performance he did on a statewide level and to win it, Dave, his father, is the coach. He's been there before. He's had a lot of great teams. He said afterwards he thought this was his best team. For him to finally win it with his son, unbelievable, just in how the whole thing went down, how well Brownstown played. Scottsburg, Jack Miller was great. They had some amazing moments in that game. It was a wonderful back-and-forth ball game. But what took me with Scottsburg was the crowd. Those people have been waiting forever for a moment, for a season like this, and they absolutely filled up Gainbridge. It was a crowd everybody was buzzing about on Saturday. And then you said this, Chad, in a group message that we're both in, that we talk sports in, 4A basketball in Metro Indianapolis. It's on a whole nother level. I love Jeff. I love New Albany. I love Southern Indiana and the big 4A schools here. But 4A basketball in Indianapolis, it is just different.
Matt, we need to spend the next segment talking about that. It was outstanding. Hey, appreciate everything you do, and thanks for the run.
All right, Chad Gilbert with me on Mondays. Much more from the state finals we'll cover this week. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.